We heard some time back, the Lord fights for us when we keep silent. I think this is something similar to that. Even when not going to sleep spiritually or physically, in our silence, the Lord will give us. Praise the Lord for His wonderful promise. Such a privilege to come under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where Holy Spirit will help us. He is the main person here, the Holy Spirit. He will help us. What is His goal? His goal is to show us the beauty of Jesus more and more, so that we'll be drawn to Him and learn from Him and follow His examples. That's why it's good to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And let's turn to a verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It's a well-known verse. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the goal of our life. Jesus is our forerunner. He is our focus. In all that we sing and hear and do, He is our focus. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Him so that we'll live a valuable life here. In Matthew 16, Jesus said something like this, in verse 18. I also say to you that you are Peter. He was talking to Peter. And upon this rock, this revelation which you got that I am Christ, I will build my church and gates of Hades will not overpower it. See, Jesus is talking about building His church. Church means it's not building. It is people. Each of us. I'm so encouraged to see that. Jesus says, I will build each one of you. Each one of us. He wants to build each one of us. And to make us like Jesus. So that's why Jesus also said just before He went to heaven, Acts 1:8, it's a well-known verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. That means, what I understand here with these two verses is that, see, we are called, Paul says, you are called to have attitude of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will build my church. I am building each one of you. And He said, Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses. So our calling is to become like Jesus and have values of Jesus, have the kingdom of Jesus, and be a witness. And when somebody looks at us, like Jesus said, you will be the light in this world. You shall be light in this world. When I am here, I am the light. So this is the great calling for each one of us, that we are a witness. That means we have a responsibility or obligation to show to others what Jesus was and what Jesus' values are, how Jesus lived, and what kind of life He lived. That is what our calling is. That's why it's very important. But the parallelly what we see is Satan is also working 24/7. That means day and night. He's the full-time worker. To give us different values. He's working at our mind. Means he's constantly targeting our minds and our values. See, before we are born again, we were in the world, not connected to the Lord. As per God, we were dead because we didn't have the connection, and we lived by the, Ephesians 2 says, values of this world. I would like to turn to this verse in John 18, verse 36. This was coming to me quite some time now. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. See, here, if we can think about another verse where 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelieving. See, here it's a blindness which is not physical blindness. It is mental blindness. And God of this world, who is that God of this world? Satan. He is working day and night to blind people's eyes. Sorry, people's minds. You know how he start putting a lot of values, different values. He is Antichrist. So Christ has some values. And Satan is trying to create certain values. And he has blinded the minds of all the people, all unbelievers. That's why it is such a privilege to be born again, where Jesus said, I think John 3:3, he said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. It's not physicalized. You can see the kingdom of God only when you are born again. Your eyes of heart will be opened. Where Paul also says, I pray that your eyes of heart will be opened. Ephesians 1:18, I think. Yeah. Then we see, oh, this has a different values. All this while, I lived with different set of values and my life was going back to, it was getting bad and bad. So, why? Because my values were of this world. Now, since we are redeemed from the values of the world, now Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting. So now, I see like this. In the world, with the values of the world, and what God of this world, Satan, has given the values. See, we see that. The people have different values. Value for money, value for honor and boasting, and so many things, selfishness and pride. Their pride in their sin and many other things. It's a different set of values. But Jesus says, no, that's not my kingdom. And they are all fighting for those things. See, when we have values, the one thing is, we will be fighting for the values. That's why we need to be very, very careful when we touch this world, how careful we are. Are we? Because we have experienced. See, before we were born again, we were living by the values of this world. And it's so subtle. So Satan is so crafty. In fact, I think 2 Corinthians 2 says, where Paul says that we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. And, you know, if you observe, Satan can make us, or the circumstances can make us believe that, oh, we are busy. We are busy. Busy with our work. Yeah, we have to work and earn. Yeah, good, important. And students can say, oh, I am busy with my studies. And subtly Satan can make us think that this is more important. This is more important. The world is running after that. I feel so sad when I hear about students committing suicide. So frequently, almost every day we hear that. Why? The values of this world. The Satan has blinded people to believe that that God, or whatever the high education certificates and money, the people go after money and get into a lot of financial issues and they commit suicide. And you know how Satan is succeeded there? That's why, you see, now we are redeemed from that system. We have to be on guard. We have to guard our hearts. That we have different set of values. But Satan is so crafty, despite of all this, after being born again, coming to church, he's not going to keep quiet. I have experienced so many things. Suddenly, many things take priority in our life if we are not careful. That's why we need to read God's word. What God's word does. Holy Spirit will show Jesus to us, the values of Jesus. That's why I just read that verse first, Philippians 2:5. Have this attitude in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what our longing should be. Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, Lord, please show me. Show me more of Jesus in these circumstances. We go through many, many situations, circumstances every day, at home, work, in college, everywhere. And what should be our goal? Lord, give me those new values. That's why when Paul writes 2 Corinthians 5:17, where anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, new has come. What is that old and new? The attitude to sin is changed, and attitude to this world system, the values of this world, we need to recognize. My kingdom is not of this world. This world is fighting for something else. But I am going to fight for something else. This is what Jesus, this is showed. We need to see that. I was encouraged to see that. Jesus has given us different value system. If we don't recognize that, but see, God doesn't force us. But the other side, Satan, and his, all his system is kind of trying to get us, squeezes into its mold. I think that's what it says in Romans 12. It says, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. This is, he is pleading. See, if you are not careful, without your knowledge, you'll be I remember hearing Brother Zach using one illustration of how to kill a frog without hurting it. So somebody put the frog in a vessel, cold water, room temperature, and the frog was comfortable, and they slowly started heating the water, very slowly. And the body was getting adapted to its temperature, little by little by little, little, little. And frog didn't jump out. If the frog was put in the hot water, it would have jumped immediately. But the temperature was slowly increasing, it didn't jump. It was getting accustomed to the temperature, and slowly, even it went to boiling point, it didn't jump and it died. That's how Satan is working in our life, without our realization. Values of this world. In fact, I would like to read the verse in Luke chapter 21. Verse 24. But be on your guard, so that your heart will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, that this day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. You know, Jesus is talking about the last days. We are in the last days. And what is the warning? Be on guard. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's a warning for me and us. I want to guard my heart. That's why I want to go back to Jesus. I want to see the glory of Jesus in the scriptures. See, many may say that, oh, I'm very busy. I don't have time. I've heard many young people saying, brother, I'm really busy with work. I'm not finding time. Now I said, don't separate yourself and God. Your work and God. Don't say, oh, God is in the church. God is only with me when I sit with my Bible. No, not like that. You are inseparable. When you are born into the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit comes with you, and He wants to be with you when you go to work. I have told many young people like that. Means when you go to work, who told you, appointed that you should be going to work? It's the Lord. Who gave you the intelligence? The Lord. And who got you that job? The Lord. And why God got you that job? Because He wants you to be there. And when everything is designed by God, don't you think God also wants to be there with you? How will you be a witness? without being filled with the Holy Spirit at workplace. Not only in the church. So you will be, you need to be witness in the workplace. For that, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord should be with you. You cannot separate your work and your Bible study. No. See, maybe you must study and see the glory of the Lord. When you go to work, there the Lord will help you how to apply those principles into your life. And there you need more of the Lord's presence than in the church. Yeah, all the places rather. That's very important, that we should not get into the trap of Satan trying to, he makes us to believe. That's how he fooled Eve and Adam. They were fooled. They were fooled thinking that, this is important, more than God. Oh, you will become like God. No, same temptation, same thing. He wants to fool us so that he will take away our values and destroy our life. Destroy our life, make us so ineffective. So that is the challenge for me. See, every day we touch so many things, we see so many things, and we hear so many things. Everywhere, what I was thinking, see, if God has to remove all the temptations, the only one thing God has to do is just remove Satan. I have spoken to many young people like that. See, God, if God wants to relieve you of all these temptations, God has to just remove Satan from the picture. That's all. But why God has not removed? He has a purpose in that. And he wants you and me to be witness. The first book, Job, we were hearing some time back, how Job guarded his own heart. He guarded his heart. See, despite of, there was nobody who could understand what he was going through. And on top of that, God said, today we know that there was a conversation between Satan and God. But Job didn't know. He was puzzled about all that was happening. But you know, he kept his heart. He guarded his heart. See, values of this world is something different. And I want to preserve myself. That is the challenge, brothers and sisters. That's why God took delight in Job. He told Satan, see. That's why when we think of being a witness, when I think about being a witness, first of all, I'm a witness before Satan. We are supposed to be witness before Satan. And our battle is against the values of this world. Like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, if this is my kingdom, my servants would be fighting and I also would be fighting. No, I don't fight for these things. I have different things to fight for. That is, my battle is with Satan. My battle is not. That's why, Brazak, we have heard many times, don't fight. Fight with flesh and blood. Yeah, we'll come to that. See, there another verse I would like to read about Noah. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus was saying again about the last days. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it'll also be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, were drinking, were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, and they were planting, and they were building. But on the day of that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. I was thinking, many times I thought about this, that what Noah did, didn't Noah, didn't eat, didn't drink, didn't marry, given in marriage, he got his sons married. What's the difference between Noah and others? And then Noah, obviously, he was eating, drinking and buying. Of course, he had to build the ark and he had to sell, I don't know, many things to procure items. And he was planting and he was building. He was doing all that. And what is the difference? What is the difference? We also do so many things. We have to eat and drink and buy and sell, marry, get married, and we do all these things, building. But what is the difference between Noah and others? Whole world, Noah and his family, and the whole world. Noah had a different value system, and the whole world, they did the same thing, but they had the different value. Their heart was set in those things, but Noah's heart was not set in those things. That is the difference. That is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to read God's word to see the glory of God and glory of Jesus and values of God, so that we'll have that same attitude which was in Jesus Christ. We may say that, oh, it's a doctrine that I need to be conformed to his image. No, it's not doctrine. See, if we don't understand, if I'm not fighting or yearning, longing to become like Jesus, that means if I don't seek for the values of Jesus, attitudes of Jesus, you know, slowly Satan can infiltrate and destroy my life. It's easy for him. We need to recognize that we have come from the same, the pit, the different value system. That's why we need to be careful. Like I think about Paul, Paul writes about Timothy. He says, I'm so happy, Timothy, for you, but you received faith from your grandmother and mother. What did they teach? They taught him the values of God. And what's the value of God? Faith. Faith to live righteously, hating sin, and depend on God in the tough circumstances instead of yielding to compromises or telling lies, maybe whatever it is. But, you know, grandmother and mother taught him not, may not be by words, but they taught him values of God. You live by these principles, then you will be okay. God will take care of you. That is what we have to teach our own children. See, we may think that, my children come and attend Sunday school, everything will be okay. No, everything will not be okay. I always think myself, I come to church, good preaching, wonderful fellowship, everything will be okay. No, everything won't be okay. I have to battle, I have to fight that battle inside me. Like Judas also went, a wonderful church, wonderful preaching, a godly man, and a wonderful ministry. He could see so many miracles. But what happened? What happened at the end of 3.5 years? He didn't get something what Peter got, John got, the values. And he couldn't see the glory. See, that we can miss. That's what we have to fight. Despite of coming here, we have to fight. Why many people can come? And for example, two brothers can come. And at the end of 5 years, one brother is grown and one brother is not grown. Why? Because he couldn't battle or fight the battle well. The values. So, this is what we learn from Noah. That he guarded his heart. Like Job. Job guarded his heart to the values of God. And he didn't yield to the values of the world. And Noah didn't compromise. He was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years. It's so difficult. Really, I thank God for the example of Noah. And he didn't yield, compromise his values. Values of God. And then I was thinking about Gideon. In Judges chapter 7 verse 6, we know the story. I don't go into the details. See, here verse 6 says like this. You know the story that there were 32,000 people, soldiers with Gideon. But God said, no, that's too much. But actually he thought that 32,000 is very small. We can't fight the battle. He went to seek the Lord. But God said, no, you have too many people. Why? We understand in this verse. In fact, after the first test, there were about 10,000 And even there, God said, no, 10,000 is more. 22,000 have gone, 10,000 left. Gideon said, oh, how will I do this? How will I battle? But God said, no, one more test. There are people who are too much occupied with the values of the world. What is that? Let's test. Give them a test. They were so thirsty. They have to drink water. It is very needful, then it says. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, I will save you with the 300 men who lapped and will hand the Midianites over to you. So have all the other people go, each man to his own home. You know, God looks for those who have the right value system. Those who say, like Jesus, my kingdom is not of this world. No, I will not follow any of the principles of the world. Yes, I need water. Yes, I will lap it. And I need this. Yes, I will. I don't bow myself down. I will be on guard. I know I am living in enemy's land. And I want to be careful. See, that's the attitude. If the Lord can work in our hearts, and we will be effective members in the coming days. You know, many are family members. I always think, Lord, I want to preserve my family. How can I preserve? I want to have the values of the heaven, not this earth. I keep telling my children also, you don't have to show your certificates to me. No, you see, the only two things are important. You do hard work and be faithful. Whatever work you do, the God will bless. I am example for that. I don't want to go into details. See, the thing is, the Lord blesses. I can think of many brothers and sisters here. They are not efficient people in the world. No. In fact, Paul says, God has chosen the base things. Those were not experts. No, we don't have to be experts to be here. We only need to recognize that we are sinners and we need to be humble. And the danger in our church would be that the day where humble people who may not be experts, not so educated, find uncomfortable here. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. The humble people, and even though they are not experts, not educated, they should feel comfortable here. So we have to be careful about it in the coming days. So the Lord has to, see, Jesus said, I will build my church. God is building the church. That is, He is giving His values into our hearts and minds, and He is building us. Then I was thinking about this verse, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces, this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why, you know, it's like we have heard many times that our battle is not against flesh and blood. See, that's why we, whatever the difference is, husband and wife, we have to see that, oh, we'll give space to each other's weaknesses, so that we don't fight. Because our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is the Jesus coming and living in us. And we are supposed to be witnesses. To be witnesses, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for that, we have to maintain peace in our heart with God and man. We don't fight. Lord, my kingdom is not of this world. Usually what happens? The earthly things. If we are fighting like that for these earthly things, then what we are proving to our children? My kingdom is of this world. My kingdom is of this world. And then children, see, whatever we preach and we may hear a lot of messages, but children pick up that spirit. Oh, what are the values? See, that we heard about Timothy's mother and grandmother. He picked up certain values. But what are the values we are giving? Oh, we may come to church, or we may preach, I may preach, or we may speak a lot of spiritual language, but children pick up our values. We may be so upset and worried about money and so many things. And we are so concerned about so many earthly things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned. See, the thing is, how we do that, like how Noah managed, how Jesus managed. And do we have those values like that? If we give more importance for money and worried about money and things of the world, and then what happens? Children pick up that. They smell it. Yes. Now, whatever our mommy daddy says, but money is so valuable. I must live for it. I must fight for it. Things of the world is real, very important. See, that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we'll have a proper glimpse and proper values. So then I was thinking about Moses here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It's such a great example, really. See, we should be able to show this as a witness in our own life. By faith, Moses, when he was born, this is about his parents, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. That means he saw that this child is a special child. See, we have to have that sense of security and assurance that we don't belong to this world. This world is not our kingdom. And we can tell our children, no, this world is not everything. You have a purpose. See, sometimes I was thinking some time back. So, see, Jesus with his pure mind, sharp mind, he did less education. I don't know what education exactly he did. It says somewhere, Pharisees were saying, he is not a learned, maybe he didn't study so much because of his situation. But see, God could have given him at least to have a good education. And he, those days, the scribes were there, well-paid, and scholars, and engineers, and doctors were there, I believe. But why? He didn't become engineer or doctor. See, if you are so possessed that my child must become engineer, doctor, don't. Jesus was a carpenter. See, I think of that. See, blessing of God was there, whatever. See, each one, God has drawn boundaries. And God has given different intelligence. And God has a plan. That's what I see here. They gave some values. The parents gave some values to Moses. Moses, you don't belong to this world. Somewhere, I don't know how they communicated the days he was there with them. And then verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, see, his conscience worked. He understood his values. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused something which is so valuable, topmost job in the world or position in the world. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, and he was looking to the reward. See, here we see the value system. Different value system. He learned. He got it. Maybe through his parents he got it. Somewhere he picked up that value system. One day something, he got realization. So after that, the Lord worked with him for 40 years. That's why, see, we must recognize. See, we must behave in such a way that I have a God who cares for me. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? What people can do to me? Satan can scare us. Oh, people will do this, do that. That will happen. This will happen. The country will pass certain rules and whatever it is. No, what man can do to me? Nobody can do anything. I have a father and he has a different value system. Where do I see? I look at Jesus. Jesus had a different value system. So otherwise, we can be all think that we are spiritual, but our value system may be of the world. That is very dangerous. But God is saying no. And that's why He says, be free. Your character is free from the love of money. No, money is the god of this world. Be careful. Touch it as those 300 soldiers touched it. Oh, I need it? Yes. I'm not for this. This is for me. I use this. I know how much to use. That much only. And with carefulness, I touch money as those soldiers touch the water. Even though it is need, I touch it very carefully. Because there is something behind this. That's why Jesus said, if you are not careful or faithful with the unrighteous mammon, you have to be faithful, but it is still, don't forget that this is unrighteous mammon. When you touch it, be careful. That's what we need to understand. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry about these things. Those days, I don't know if Jesus were there today, what and all other list he would have added. Those days he said, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. Don't worry about it. God will take care of that. God knows. And these people whose kingdom of this world, they seek after this thing. He said, Gentiles, their kingdom is this earth. They seek after these things, but you people don't have to seek after these things. God will take care. But one thing you have to seek is God's values. That is, kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all this will be, in fact, I say, it will be thrown at your feet. God will give exactly. That is what we have to be witnesses. And I am so happy that Zach had a burden. We want to raise up a pure witness for these truths, that it should work in our life. If someone in the village, Brother Zach, I remember Brother Zach saying, we don't want to help people with money. And even in Tamil Nadu, a poor village, we want this testimony that if they seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, you put God's values, and they will be provided by God all their needs. Not all their wants, their needs. That's what God is raising witness through the church. But Satan is also working to blind our mind. God of this world is working hard to blind our mind so that we get molded into values of this world. And I'll just end with this John 7:37, where it says, Jesus, last days, stood and cried out. This comes to me again and again. Jesus cried out. Jesus knew that. And don't drink this water of this world. Be careful. You need this water to live in this earth, but be careful when you touch this water. But if any man is thirsty for heavenly riches, let him come to me and drink. I'll give him the Holy Spirit, the values of the kingdom. I'll give him. Let him drink. He will be filled and it will overflow. Verse 38. And the one who believes in me, scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of water. If you are not even drinking, how it will be filled? If it is not filled, how it will overflow? That's why we need to really, if God gives us thirst, let's seek the Lord. Lord, fill my heart. Fill my heart with the Holy Spirit so that I'll have the values of the kingdom. I'll be able to say confidently, my kingdom is not of this world. But I have a different values. I'm not touched by these values. Then it will flow. What is that? I'll be witness. To in Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost part. And it will overflow. And that's what Jesus is saying. It will overflow. May the Lord help us. Amen.
A few days back, I attended a career guidance counseling in a school. They started around 9 o'clock and it went till 12 o'clock, almost 3 hours. There was so much of interaction, there was so much of enthusiasm, questions. And even after that session was finished, they were asking, could you please give us those files? It is very good, because if I'm all for it, if you children, you should try to get a career counseling. If it's quite possible that when we come to church and hear the words and take it in a light way, okay, if I follow these principles, I can be a better person tomorrow, I can be a little more better. Yes, I want to be better every day, I want to. But Bible says if my hope is only for this life, I am to be most pitied. I think that verse in, if you have hope in this life only, it is in 1 Corinthians 15:19. It says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So there is a life beyond the death or physical death. And it's quite possible that we are not gripped by it because of the worries and pressures and cares of this world. We completely forget. We lose our way. So, if you turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain or nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." And it says the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and truth. So if you don't know the story, and if you read this verse, if this woman asking Jesus about worship, you may think she may be a Bible school student or a very serious Christian. She wanted to advance to the next level of her Christian life. And if I ask a Sunday school child here in a higher class, what is the kingdom of heaven? I'm almost certain that you will be given, one of the children at least will be able to give an answer. Uncle, kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking. It is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is it wrong to know the verse? But if I ask, have you tasted it? Then it's different. So the danger we have that we can hear and understand and take it lightly without tasting. When we've been hearing about kingdom of heaven, and there is another kingdom of this world, it's ruled by the devil. You know, there are countries like Pakistan, I heard they allow dual citizenship. So you can have a passport of Pakistan and you can have a passport of some other country whom they have tie up or whatsoever. But in India, our constitution won't allow that. If you hold an Indian passport, you cannot be a citizen of other kingdom. Bible says we are citizens of heaven. So, let's not just take it like in other message, brothers and sisters. And some of us, I think many, all of us, there are many of fine brothers are there, brothers and sisters in our midst. But I believe at least there are a few, you haven't understood what is the kingdom of heaven. You haven't understood what the values are. So I remember growing up in my home when my dad was a government officer, and towards the end of his life he got saved. And he started giving back when he got the retired all the money. He had collected so much money as bribe and he started returning it. So I was so angry with it because I didn't know the values of kingdom of heaven. Now, we read about Zacchaeus when Jesus wanted to come into his house. He had to settle. He said, "Lord, I will return." You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven with someone else's money in your pocket. You can come to church with someone else's money in your pocket. You can cheat and you can come to church. But you will have no part in the kingdom of heaven if you cheated, if you deceived others. And if you tell a lie to people's face without a prick of your conscience, Bible says the devil is the father of all lies. You have no part in kingdom of heaven. But let's not get discouraged. You think of this woman. She was leaving, her life was at a mess. And she tried to be spiritual with Christ, but Jesus didn't judge her. That's a great comfort. He knows our follies, He knows our failures, and He won't judge us. And if your life been miserable, there are things hidden, no one else knows. You have fellowship with darkness. I believe still you can come to Christ. You know, there's a verse in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Pay attention. It says, for He rescued us from domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Even from the domain of darkness, Christ can transfer us to the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of His beloved Son. So, do we need to change anything externally or to, you know, change my clothing or way of speak? It's all good, but if my heart is not changed, if I haven't let God transfer me to this kingdom, there is of no use. See, you can't choose to be a citizen of other country unless that country approves it. In the same way, we must go to God. Lord, I my values are wrong. My eyes were blind. And then I come to You. And that's how, if you know that you're not you are not a part of kingdom of Christ, you can come. And you can take help. You don't need to wait. And what age you should seek the kingdom of heaven? Maybe after your 10th or after your 12th or after your a professional degree, or once you get a job and settle in life, then you seek God's kingdom. I thought it like that growing up. I thought I want to establish first in my career and life, and then I've saved a lot of money and towards the end, and I will seek God as if I know when I'm going to die. So if you ask me, brothers and sisters, you ask my birthday, I can tell you. But if you ask me when I'm going to die, I have no idea. Bible says my life is just a vapor. I don't know what's going to be about tomorrow. So, but we don't need to be scared. We don't need to be worried. But we just need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Our values should be changed. The kingdom of heaven has to come into our heart. We must go to Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, even the disciples, even before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, you read in John 17, Jesus could testify concerning them, they are not of this world. Think of it, they are not even filled with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus could testify, as I am not of this world, they are not of this world. So brothers and sisters, I believe you should take this message, not just as a message, but it's a reality. The hell, the heaven, it's all reality, it's just a matter of time. Like someone said, a little while and then comes eternity. So let's hear this. These are the words of eternal life. These are not suggestions by which we can improve our life. These are the matters of life and death. And one verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So if you are a soldier and you forget, and if you are a Christian and if you forget, it is Christ who called you, it is Christ who separated you, and it is Christ who appointed you for a task, for a purpose on this earth. And if you forget everything and get entangled with the things of life, why is devil so furious about bringing confusion, bringing fear, bringing anxiety into our life, into our homes? Because he knows that. He knows that he will be defeated one day. He is defeated and he will be destroyed permanently one day. But then he want to fight. So let's not forget, brothers and sisters, we are in active. We are all of us who have committed our life to Christ. We are active soldiers. We have a battle. It's not a cakewalk. We have a real battle. And that's a picture Bible gives me. If you It's a picture of not a person who is relaxed and giving a retired life. It's a picture of to the last day of our life. It's an active battle. So let's not give in to our daily pressures of life. And I know the places like here in Bangalore, we have a lot of tremendous pressure with our work, our helping home and children. But I mean, there are two ways I can. One is like I can go to the world for relaxing, so-called. I remember a manager of mine was speaking to me. He said, "Danish, almost all the weekends I am full with drinks." So here is a man who is seeking his comfort in the world. So I like to relax. I like to watch some games or play. But what gives me peace and joy is not all these things. I sit. The moment I silently spend with the Lord, that's the thing where it gives me courage, it gives me clarity, it gives me motivation. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." That is in Psalm 46, verse 10. So I hope, brothers and sisters, we are learning like we read in Psalm 131. It says, "Surely I have comforted, I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rest against its mother." So brothers and sisters, hope all of us are learning to rest. All of us are learning to find our peace and joy in Christ, not in this world, not in the amusement and the fun of this world, recognizing this world will pass away and all its lust, and one who do the will of God will live forever. May God help us.
Yeah, we were hearing about values, not picking up the values of this world. I was thinking about what Jesus valued. And we know in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, the final temptation was Satan. In a moment, he revealed all the glories of the world. It was some supernatural way. He was showing Jesus in a very, very powerful way everything, anything you want of this world, anything the world has to offer to you. And Jesus said, "Get out of here. I choose to worship the Lord. He alone is worthy of worship. That is valuable to me. That is what I choose. Nothing of this world." That's what Jesus valued. And then we know that Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man?" Matthew 16, verse 26. "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is where he called people to discipleship. He says, "If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." But we see there that, you know, Jesus was making a choice in terms of what he values, in terms of what we should value. What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your eternal soul? And then we must think about what Jesus did for my soul. The value that he placed on my soul. We know that Jesus was separated from the Father with whom he had been joined for all eternity for the sake of my soul. Yeah, the Bible says you have been bought for a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells? And you are not your own, for you have been bought for a price." We have been bought with a great, great price. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? So my body belongs to the Lord. It's been purchased by him for value. Yeah, in the book of Malachi it says, "Will a man rob God?" It asks this question, "Will a man rob God?" Somebody else has paid the price, then will I rob God? And I noticed that word over there in Malachi. It says, you know, it talks about tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 7 says, return to me. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Then the Lord says, this is how you return. Will a man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Okay. So we know that the religious world pays huge importance on this word tithes. What about offerings? Right? The two words there, right? You can't take one word and leave out the other word. And we know, as we heard from Brother John, in Romans chapter 12, we understand what that offering is. It says, this is your reasonable offering. Your reasonable offering of worship. This is how you should make an offering to the Lord in the new covenant. Give your bodies to be a living sacrifice. This is reasonable. We can go there and look at it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I urge you by the mercies of God, by the great mercies of God, by this great price that God has paid for you who did not deserve anything but hell, I urge you, present your bodies as a reasonable, living and holy sacrifice. That is your spiritual service of worship. Worship God by surrendering your body to Him. And this necessarily goes along with the next verse. The only way we can do that is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind, change your values, that you might give yourself to God. Yeah, we heard from Brother Danish about, and this is not just his bosses, you know, many of my colleagues also. Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Redeem the time, the days are evil. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Do not be drunk and weighed down with the worries of life and the pleasures of life. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Brothers and sisters, let's bow our heads in prayer.